Just be patient with me here, if you will, please. Well, everything's a little different here this morning. We haven't got a piano player, but she'll be back right soon. And the rain has caused us to not be as many. Well, Vernon, back there, you did float in, did you? Well, welcome. The rain has kept many of people away, and we understand that, and the danger that it possibly could take place. But we're glad you're here, and we're going to, as the old saying is, we're going to hold the fort down. We're going to keep on serving and praising the Lord, and just pray that He'll bless the people that are not here with us, and keep them safe, and we want you to be safe, and we never expect people to take risk, and because that would be a temptation to God, and we shouldn't do that if we think it's going to be a danger to us, like we do in the winter weather and it's slick and so forth. Well, God understands that, but we're glad that you're here, and God has been good, and we're here to praise Him and worship together. As we do, I will share with you a few lines from Psalm 92. Goes like this. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto the name of Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For the Lord has made me glad throughout the work. I will triumph in the works of thy hand. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. That's our God.
For him we worship this morning, we're using number 228, singing the first verse, and I will have the prayer. This all stand. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song of glorious harmony. When the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Our Father in heaven, we have to thank you for this day you've granted us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your house and worship you. Be with us now as we go through the further exercise. Be with many as you bring your morning message. And we receive the message of the hour. Now go with us and guide and direct us and save us, and he ends our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
For communion hymn, we're going to be number 296. Sing the first verse. We'll just sing the first one this time.
That's okay.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cross he suffered,
from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer purchased me
on the cross. He sealed my pardon, paid a debt, and made me free.
We get around the Lord's table this morning, read from the book of John. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you give us this morning to get around thy table. We're thankful for these emblems, which we partake of in remembrance of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and especially that through him we have the hope of everlasting life. We pray that you be with us this morning through this service, that the things that we say and do will be pleasing in thy sight.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity, and we thank you, dear God, for the ability you've given to us to be able to work, to have vocations, Heavenly Father, that we earn our living. You bless us through that, so we bring a portion of that back, Heavenly Father, to further the work here in this community and to support the church and to keep this building in array for the people to have a good place to worship. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love and the generosity of the people here in this church. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bless them for their efforts. Heavenly Father, and we know you will, and we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we come together this morning, a couple of things to share with you. Share your thanks, thank you note here. We would like to thank everyone for the love and kindness to our family during the difficult time. God has surely blessed us with a wonderful church family and lots and awesome cooks, Omer, Mike, and Mark, and Donna Lee. Yes, God bless you. We will miss that lady so much already even. Okay, coming up this Sunday night, we will be hosting the hymn sing, and so prepare for that. And I think the ladies is already know, and so I'll just remind you, the afterglow will just be desserts and drinks, and so we prepare for that, and hopefully that will help you out. Then we'll start into our revival Monday, a week from tomorrow night, and so we need to ask you to continue to pray for that. Also, as Robert was looking up names and so forth and phone numbers, but you folks know most of the people connected here in your line, in your family, and in your fellowship, and the people that you are around. So we're dependent upon you to encourage them to come. We have a lot of publicity out. Brother Jackie is going to be here Monday night from Berea, and he has made a nice thing on the, Maxine was telling me, on his website or on his Facebook or something. I think Robert has it on the website and so forth. But you folks are doing your, whatever you call that thing, what is it called? I think that website, it's not a website, but whatever it is that you call it, that you're on there and look all the time. Hey, say something about that on there. You know, promote that. That's good. And but encourage the folks around here to let them know. Hey, how many noticed the nice banner out there? That is Joanne's son made that for us, and we really appreciate that. That is very nice. And Keith put that up and so forth. So that looks real nice out there. Thank you for that. And but anyhow, we have some handouts, but they won't be ready until tonight, right? Is that right? You don't have any of them, did you?
There's still some back there on the table. We've handed out a bunch
already. Is them ones up from last week, or is those
some from the revision and some from last week? But
yeah, are those the corrected ones?
Yes, some of them are and some of them aren't.
Okay, so there's some back there on the table if you want to pick them up and kind of pass those out a little bit. That'd be good, too. Okay, one big thing is pray about that. Pray that God will help you to guide you to people that you can encourage to come, and just pray for people, period, And there's never been a good revival that hasn't been bathed in prayer. And so that is a great thing. I've read of some of the great revivals that took place. I read of a revival that took place, and this one little old lady prayed for a year for revival, and it finally came, and it was a great thing. And we hear where groups get together and pray for revivals and so forth, and that's great. And I've never heard or read of a revival that has been a much success that hasn't been bathed in prayer. And so you people, I know you're praying for it. I just want to encourage you to keep praying for it. And pick out particular people that you know that you would like to encourage, that you would like to see come to know the Lord or to be more active in the church or whatever it might be in their lives. Pray about that. Pray for that particular person. And pick out people that you know and plan to have them to come with you and pray about them coming with you and so forth. And things will happen that way. Yeah, you.
I've had one person already ask me, but the week of revival is also the week of our fellowship night. So we won't be having fellowship night the week of revival. So Michael, you're going to have to be cornhole champion for another month, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to let you do that. Yeah. We're going to let you do that. And that'll put us in September, October. That'll put us in November, and if it snows, well, we will shovel off the wall for it. And I put that in the newsletter and so forth that will be canceled. Anything else that you want to share that would be helpful for us? We know a lot of our people are not here this morning because of the weather, and we pray that the weather will be out of here and we'll have fair weather and people will be able to come, and we'll enjoy a good week next week after next with the church family and people. Okay, what else we got going? That's it. Let's look then to our prayer time. And, I was looking at my prayer list. Oh, yeah, and I kept forgetting to ask you or Donna about Bob Parker. He's had these ups and downs. What's going on with him now?
He had another surgery this week because he had an infection. He came through that okay. He had a blood pressure problem with it, but I think he's doing okay. Mike talked to, or had texted Mary Ruth yesterday. He had a good day yesterday, and Mike and I have been debating on whether to drive to Louisville today. We're watching the weather to see whether we need to drive down there or not.
Yeah,
it's still touching down.
But it's interesting, isn't it, how that he's bounced and back and forth.
Amazing.
Things are happening, and you know, and I say this in a kind of way. You know, God does things in wonderful ways, and He causes. God will use things and different things that happens in people's lives to bless them and to bless others with it also. So we want to look at all the possibilities that could come from some of those things. And it's just, you know, probably people are seeing in what's happening to him and knowing that God can work.
I forgot to say, I left Sonny Parker on. That's Bob's brother. He died this week.
Okay.
This is Bob's older brother, Sonny. I've been had him on the prayer list. He died. He was buried this week.
Okay. Gosh. All right, so keep in mind these folks, and we mentioned Evelyn Lyons was having heart problems and had cancer problems, yeah, and having some tests done and such. And Michelle Lee, we had on our prayer list last week, and she had some stents put in, didn't she, so forth.
Yes.
Hope those things are going well. And did I have another one that I had here from last week that we had some new ones? But keep those folks in your prayers. Isn't it wonderful how God works and is working in people's lives? And it's just wonderful. And God bless us in a great way and help us to see your helping hand. You know, if we didn't have some difficulties in life, we wouldn't be able to really appreciate the good things that we have. And God helps us through those. And He blesses us and helps us through us, and that's wonderful. So pray for our nation. Oh, and a good word is from Bergen says that Karen had the hip operation and it's a success. Everything's good and so forth. So that is looking forward to a speedy recovery there, and that'll be great. So we're glad to hear that. And who else? Got some good reports to go on. God is so good, and God is blessing. So as we come to prayer time, remember our nation. Remember, and another thing that's going to be taking place soon or now or whatever. I've lost track of the political thing, all the voting and so forth. Pray that God will use people to elect people in the offices in your county and so forth, in whatever place it is that will, you know, look to Him for the good things that could be done for the people, for all people. And so pray earnestly for them. Our service people, people that can't get out, people that are shut in. And then pray for our church members that are not here this morning because of the weather. Jerry and Judy, they're behind water back over in Franklin County, over in that their little burg they live in, or it gets water around it pretty quick. But pray for them. And you folks had to come through Williamstown this morning, didn't you? Tina and Ron, did you all come through Williamstown to get here today? You crossed the creek? Okay, I figured that creek would be over the... Huh? Okay. Well, we're glad you're here whichever way you come. Yeah. And so pray for the people that are not here. And they would love to be here with you. And I can visualize them right now not being here. And they know what's going on here. And they're thinking about you people. But let us think about them also as we come to our prayer time.
For prayer hymn, using number 264, sing the first verse, and Virgil will have a prayer. It's all stand.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Father, if it be your will, we ask your healing touch on the ones on the prayer list, the ones in the nursing home, or the ones who are unable to get here because of the weather. We ask your blessings on them. We ask for safety for our men and women in the service, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 378. 378.
So, no matter how dark, no matter how dreary, no matter how crappy you think your life is going, there's just one thing you all really need to cling to, that there's victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And about the angels singing in the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Thank you, Sierra and Michael. I'm glad you did that because I was going to propose something else, and I'm so glad that you did that. Blessed us better than what I would have proposed, I know that. Well, I guess we could have titled the subject this morning Wet or Dry, but the subject is hot and hot or cold. If you notice the question marks, so hopefully that this message will cause you to question yourself, are you hot or are you cold? We're talking about revival, and as we look in the scripture, why there's passages concerning revival, and you'll read where Israel, from time to time, they were up and they were down. And, you know, I think the church gets that away sometimes. I think sometimes we get down and we need to be revived up. And Israel was that away. And we read also where the kings, you know, they'd be a good king. And boy, I mean, God would just bless them and they would just have a glorious time. Then there'd be another king. And boy, I mean, he would do all things contrary to what God would have. And, you know, when we're doing things contrary to what God has us do, I mean, he just can't bless us. It just doesn't work that way. And so we'd have a bad king, and then another king would come on. He'd be a good king. He'd start leading the people in the way of the Lord, and the Lord would revive them up and bless them and so forth. So we see that quite often through the scriptures here. And we come to the New, in the Old Testament, we see that quite often. In the New Testament, we come to it, and we see also the same thing happening, you know. As we think about Jesus' resurrection and so forth, and maybe after he's been resurrected and gone home to be with the Father, probably about 40 years has taken place, and we get a glimpse of the need for revival. And I think maybe in the book of Hebrews chapter 5:12, the thought comes, you know, that they need someone to teach them. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, you know, you should have been already, you've been taught, and you should already know, but and be encouraged and so forth. But it seems like you need somebody to teach you over, he says. And so to instruct you and helped you. So there was a time there that people who had come to know the Lord, and now it's been about 40 years since the Lord has ascended back to heaven. And so Paul recognizes the fact here that very possibility that they've kind of drifted off and they need to come back. They need to be revived, and God's in the reviving business, and they get tired and so forth, and they get draggy, and they need to be revived and such. And so he says, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint. And so this church here that already was had already now been drooping, and it's already dragging, and it's tired, and it's out of joint. And the church there was needing to be revived, and I'm not being hard on the church here at all. You guys do a great job, you people do. But I know it's a church as a whole across this nation. Evidently, we need to be revived because things are, it seems like we're kind of out of joint as a nation, as a Christian nation. And I think the church is partly the blame of that because what we have done or what we have allowed done and so forth. And so as a whole, we look at America, and I'm inclined to believe that we are somewhat out of joint. I like the story of Ezekiel, and you find in Ezekiel, God spoke to Ezekiel and told Ezekiel, come, I want you to go out here to the valley. He took him out the valley and showed him a valley full of dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel the question. He said, you think those bones could live again? And Ezekiel said, oh, yeah, Lord, they can live. And so he said, can they be revived back up? But they were out of joint. And as you read that story, that he says that God brought sinews on and brought the joints together and everything. And God can do that. God can revive. He can bring things back together. He can make things come alive, just as he did with those dry bones there in the valley for them there. I like that the Negro spiritual used to have that thing about the them dry bones, And it's a very nice little song. Yes, God can take dry bones and put in sinews and pull them together and make them live. And so he can revive the church, and he can revive a nation. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe God can do that. And so God looks for the opportunity to do that. And as I said before, God will only do that if God's people will want it. And I'm afraid that as we look at the church as a whole across the nation, that I don't believe that many people of the church really wants to be revived. I believe that they've been complacent in their ways, and they're satisfied with what they're doing, and they're just there. I took this two words here, hot or cold, from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14, and following. Let me read that to you, share that with you. And it reads like this. This is to the church at Laodicea, and we'll talk a little bit about what God said to the other churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen and the faithful and the true witness in beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because that thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says they're lukewarm. Lukewarmness is what I think possibly I see as the church as a whole across the nation. Satisfied. Lukewarmness has the meaning they're satisfied with where they're at, and they're not going to do anything more. They're just going to go on like that. But Jesus says here to John, to the writer John, says, write to them and tell them, I know their works, and I know, that you're neither hot nor cold. Now, Jesus would rather for a person to be cold than he would have them to be lukewarm. A lukewarm person, and a few people have dealt with them, and some of you have, if you find a person who has become a Christian, and then they have become lukewarm, and they're just kind of appeasing themselves, doing, just getting along and so forth, not really digging into the Word, not really getting excited about anything more that God's doing. They're lukewarm. You can't hardly deal with that person. You can't hardly move that person. They'll stay there and they'll die there. But if they're cold, then you can talk to them and you can plant seeds and so forth. So Jesus is saying, I'd rather you be cold than to be lukewarm. If you're not going to be hot, don't be lukewarm. And so he goes back to the churches here and talks to the churches. And I won't read them all. I'm going to just throw out some things, thoughts here to you, because you know pretty well what the book of Revelation talks about here to the churches here. And the seven churches of ages is in the second chapter of Revelation and chapter 3. And they were in need. What were they needed? Jesus speaks to the Apostle John and tells them to write to the churches of Asia Minor. And Jesus has a message for each one of them. The church at Ephesus, and I just picked out a little bit out of each one to give you a little thought about them, because there's much said, and you can read more about them later on in this week and sometime if you wish. The church at Ephesus, he says, and notice he says several times, I know thy works. And so here he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, but I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And you know the tragedy of divorce, where man and woman has fallen in love. And you just can't stay apart. You just want to be together and so forth. It is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But then divorce comes. Lose your first love. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? And so here Jesus says, you once loved the Lord God and you served with zeal. And now I know your works and you have left your first love. I really think that much of our nation, as Christianity is spoken of, as Christians, have left their first love. And Jesus warns them that. The church at Smyrna, when tried and suffered tribulation, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So he has a promise there for them. He also has a little thought to speak to them too when you read that. But I want us to see here the church at Smyrna, he said, they're going through tribulation. They're going through some tough times. And you know the church suffers. The church suffers tough times. We go through tribulations. We go through some sorry times. And people then will get discouraged and they'll be despondent. But here Jesus says to the church in Samaria, I know you've been tried and you suffered tribulation, but he says, so here he says, but be faithful unto the end and I will give you a crown of life. The church of Pergamos, look what happened here. He says, you eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. Repent or I'll come quickly. And what's taking place there? They have sinned to a great degree. He says, you've sacrificed to idols. And you know through the Old Testament how people look to idols and how they sacrifice to idols, how pagans sacrifice to those idols. Pagan gods and so forth. And so you can get some feel of that. And you've committed fornication. And so he's saying, hey, you're not in very good condition here. Things are not going the way they ought to be going. And you need to repent. And if there's anything, a message that needs to go across America today, if there's anything message that the church needs to be bringing forth to, is we need to repent of our wrongness. We need to repent of our sinfulness. And he names a whole lot of those things. The church of Thyatira, he says, again, he says, I know your works. I know your works in charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last is more than the first. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess and teaches those things and seduces servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to the idols. In other words, what Jesus is saying there to the church at Thyatira is the fact, you are allowing things to happen there in that church that should not happen. Now, can I ask you fairly and say, as we look at the church as a whole across America, could we fairly say to the church as a whole, they have allowed things to happen that shouldn't be happening? That's what Jesus is saying to Thyatira. And the church at Sardis, I know thy works, again he says. So we want to always remember, God knows what's going on. He says to the church of Sardis, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou livest, but thou art dead. Think about that. Jesus tells John to write to these churches, and this is what he says. I know your works, and you live, but you're dead. In other words, I guess, you know, they're just existing. And, you know, I know a lot of people that, Christian or non-Christian, they're just existing. And that's a terrible thing to be, just existing. No hope for better things. Always looking for the negative things. Just existing. I know that works. Thou hast a name, and thou livest. You're known. They know you're at church. They know where you're at. They know you're the people living, but you're dead. That means there's no fruit coming in. My little peach tree used to put off little peaches, and it died. It's no longer fruitful. But it still had some sprouts on it. But it wasn't fruitful. So what I'm seeing here is he's saying, there's a church there. They're living, but they're dead, not productive. Now, the church at Philadelphia, I know thy works. Jesus says, you know, John's writing what Jesus tells him to say, and you say, I know thy works, that thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Philadelphia is the only one that he really commends to with no rebuke to. And what he says, he knows what's going on. He knows your work. He knows what you're doing. You've not denied my name. You've stood strong, and you've stood in the statutes of the Lord. And he said, you just stay faithful. You stay faithful. And I have something for you. The church at Laodicea now, I know the works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I won't spew you out. What would he say? Supposing God would speak to someone and he would say to this person, I want you to write a letter to the Porter Church. What would he say to the Porter Church? What do you think he might say? I hope he would have words like he did to Philadelphia. I believe he probably would. But regardless, he knows what's going on. He knows our works. And he knows where we stand. And he wants us to be faithful. So I won't answer that question. I just leave that question to you. That's one of the little question marks up there. That's for you. One of them is, are you hot and cold? And another thing, what would the Lord have someone to write to you if he was going to write to us today as a church? What would he write? Would he say that we're a valley of dry bones? I don't know. That we have left our first love? Would he tell us to be faithful? Would he say that we need to repent? Would he say that we have allowed things to happen that should not happen? Should not have happened in that church? Would he say, thou livest and art dead? Would he say, we are neither hot nor cold? I leave that question to you. I hope he would say what he said to Philadelphia. Oh, he said to the church of Philadelphia, I know thy works, thou art kept my word. And thou hast not denied my name. Thou hast held fast to that which thou hast. And because you have done that, no man is going to take your crown. So regardless of what happens across the nation, and what, regardless of what happens in Georgetown or Williamstown, this little church here at Porter, if we'll stay faithful, we'll stay true to His Word, and we'll keep pondering on, and we'll keep expressing the love of God to the community and so forth, you can be very assured, no man's going to get your crown. I believe that kind of fits Porter. I believe it does. Oh, you can think about all those things that I mentioned there for the other churches. And you can wrestle around with those and question, you know, could that be written to us? And I hope you don't see that. I hope you see the letter he wrote to Philadelphia. Revelation 21:7 says this, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And that's not leaving the daughters out at all, because when he uses those terms, that means all of humanity. Those who overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. Oh, don't you wish that everybody could say that Jehovah is my God? Don't you wish that all across this nation that everybody could say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God, is my God? Because the promise is there. He will be our God. He will be our God, and we shall be his people. I'm so glad that you're the people of God. You're at Porter. I really am. You know, I say that because, you know, there's too many defeated Christians. And someone said, defeated Christians? Oh, yes. Christians get defeated. And there are too many defeated Christians. When a Christian gets defeated, it's hard for them to rise up. They need help, or they'll never rise up. They'll just be defeated. Be defeated. Too many discouraged Christians. And discouraged Christians wallers in self-pity. And I know some people that's close to us here. And they just waller in self-pity. Discouraged. Waller in self-pity. I see once in a while, when I happen to get on Facebook once in a while and looking for something that somebody's told me that's gone there. And you'll find some people in there and they're discouraged. I mean, you can tell by what they're saying, they're discouraged. And they're wallering in self-pity. And you know, I have to say to every Christian, get off this pity parties, you know. Christians haven't got time to have pity parties, you know. Too much good stuff going on for Christians to have a pity party. Feel sorry for yourself and so forth. God has blessed you in such a wonderful way. Rejoice in it and get going. But, you know, it's sad, but it's true. Christians get defeated and they get down and it's hard for them to rise up. And you may know somebody yourself who's once been a Christian and they just are almost by the wayside. You can help them. You can strengthen them. You can encourage them. If not, they'll not rise up. And those people who are wallowing in self-pity, a time or two I've caught one or two of my daughters in that condition, and I have to give them some stern words. You know, hey, that's not us. That's not us. We don't waller in self-pity. But I'm sure that you see it because of what little bit I look at Facebook, I see it. And I'm sure that some of you are on that quite often. Don't you see a bunch of people on there and they actually are just wallering in self-pity? What is that old thing? that the one guy said, old groom, you know, I mean, he just seems like he's down on everything, misery and all that, you know. And people go for that, and they wallow in that. No, no, no. If you're down in that, get up and go. God has something good for you. Too many Christians that have fallen back in their old ways and old habits of life. And that's what happens. A person gets discouraged, and they seem to feel like they've been defeated. And what will they do? They will end up right back where they started from. And we have no business there at all. You have no business where you was last year, doing what you were doing last year. You've got better things to do. If you haven't found some better things to do with all the good things you had last year, there's something wrong. Because you see, God says, I've got better things. He always speaks of better things. The book of Hebrews, that's a good book to study and to read. I forget, and I'm gonna try to find out sometime. I'm gonna do something to count them up. How many times better is stated in the book of Hebrews? We've got a better Savior. We've got a better hope. We've got a better joy. We've got a better peace of mind. I mean, you can just find that all through the book of Hebrews. Better, 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 better. So it doesn't make any difference how good today is. Hey, God isn't going to bring doom tomorrow. You might run into some discouraging things tomorrow, but don't get down. Don't get discouraged, because God's going to work out something good for you out of that. God has better things for you tomorrow than he had yesterday. You enjoyed all the good things yesterday God had for you. Tomorrow he's got better things. Look forward to them. Look forward to them. So too many depressed Christians will let their past, will not let their past be past. Let me put it that way. Will not let their past be past. Living in the past is a very dreadful thing. And I've been caught in that in my life, thinking about, and you're thinking, and you catch yourself, you're living in the past. Boy, get out of that. Don't let that happen to you. Yeah, depressed Christians will not let the past remain the past. We cannot change the past, but we can go forward. We can go with the present. Today is the day we have to do what we want to do. Tomorrow isn't promised, but yet all possibility. We'll have a tomorrow if the Lord tarries. But the present and the future holds many blessings for God's people. So don't live in the past. That's where many people live. They need revived. There's no room for tired and old and worn out Christians. I get a little discouraged with people who gives me the idea, well, I've served my time as a Christian, and I'm such and such at age, and I'm going to let the young people then do the work of the church. No, no, no. Every person is needed in the Lord's church, and there's no room for people to be worn out and get old and tired and miss the joy and exaltation that comes. The Lord is our strength, and Nehemiah said, the Lord is my strength. And regardless who you are and what you are and the condition you're in, the Lord is still your strength. And I have said, the Lord is our strength. We need a revival where God can give us a song of happiness in our heart. You know, I know it's discouraging out there at times, but keep that song in your heart. He is where the strength comes from, the joy of the Lord. I like that song that the young people, the boys and girls, sing all the time. I got joy, joy, joy. Where? Down in my heart. I got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And it's going to stay there, you know. And keep that joy in your heart, because, hey, whatever you run into, there's joy coming somewhere. What is that song that says, you know, there's something through the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I forget exactly how that goes, but you probably know that. And I look at that, you know, in any dark thing that comes in my life, I have joy down in the heart, knowing that tomorrow is going to be something better, something different. And I don't get discouraged, and I don't get despondent, and I don't go back and try to live the past. I'm looking for that which tomorrow God has. That's what he has in the future. Philippians 3:13-14, Paul says this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. And if you read the and study the life of the Apostle Paul, he had quite a life. Exciting life, a miserable life. He was, I guess the Apostle Paul was probably, if it's fair for me to say, tortured or misused or abused, probably second to Christ. Christ really suffered for you and for me. He was tortured, despicably used and abused. When you just read about it and how gory it was, and you read about the Apostle Paul, and he had mountaintop experiences, but he had some valleys too. But this is what he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, that ought to give you encouragement anytime. Regardless of what you're going through, if you can remember the words of the Apostle Paul there, that ought to give you encouragement. If anybody can use those words like that, the Apostle Paul uses there, that's really encouraging. In all the years that he spent and the wrath that came his way, he could look and see the mercy of God working in his life. Habakkuk was one that also speaks very hard about reviving, and he cries out to God to revive his work, revive the people. And in the years that he lived, and make known thy wrath, remember mercy and all. And people are talking a lot about the wrath of God and so forth, and we should. But shouldn't we talk more about the mercy of God? We should talk about hell, but shouldn't we talk more about heaven? And, you know, the warning should be about hell, and the warning should be about the wrath of God. But the good news is that God has mercy. And the good news, God has something planned better than this life, as good as this life is. Habakkuk says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:2, he says, I will rejoice in the salvation that God has brought me to. Too many defeated Christians today that will not rise up. And personal revival means individuals getting right with God. And we need to look at revival, yes. Not something for just for the community, not just for the church, but it's a personal thing. You know, I like what David says, and we've said that and used that in a sermon before. You know, he stirs himself up. And boy, sometimes when you look around and what's going on, you just have to stir yourself up. Stir yourself up in the good things of God. Revive yourself in the goodness of God. Know what God is doing for you. Know what God has done for you. Know what God will do for you. And then you get excited. You get excited about that. I'm excited about what God has in store. I'm excited what God's going to do next week, next year, if the Lord tarries. Who knows? Who knows the mind of God? God says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not. I got far better things in store than what you can even think or imagine. And, you know, that's encouraging. You know, God, I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but I know your hand's going to be in it. I don't know what's going to happen next week, but I know your hand's going to be in it. I rejoice in the fact that the hand of God works in individual lives. He works in your life. He works in my life. He works in his life, in her life. God does that, so we might enjoy what he has for us. Personal revival means the individual getting right with God. So, the strength of our church here at Porter has a great bearing on how you and your relationship with God is. If your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, that's a weak link in our church. But your relationship with God can always be what it always ought to be. Now, Now, you got to think about that. Your relationship with God can always be what it ought to be. And if your relationship with God is what it is always what it is, what it ought to be, this church will always be strong in the Lord. Now, you can think on that, and that's very true. You are so important to this church. You are one of the strengths of this church. And this church is dependent upon you and your relationship with God to further the work here in this community. And He will do that. Home revival means the family is getting back to place they need to be. You know, isn't it something, and I hate to close on this sad note, isn't it something how that families are so torn apart and so disarrayed and so disunified? And certainly, families need to be revived. We need a revival that will kindle the old fires, the first love, you know. If we would love the Lord God like we loved Him when we first come to know Him, what a change it would be in our lives. What a change it would be in our church. What a change it would be in our world. We need a revival that would kindle all those old fires. What was Christ's intention in addressing the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3? Jesus didn't say, John, come here. I want you to write to the seven churches in Asia Minor. I want you to tell them all that's wrong with them. I want you to tell them I know their works, and they're not hot and they're not cold. I want you to tell them that they've done loud things in that shouldn't be allowed in. That's really not the big point of Jesus to the churches. Jesus used what He used in those letters to those churches for this reason. He said, I see the condition you're in, and I want to speak to you about it so that you can be revived about it. His goal for those seven churches was not to condemn them. He said to those churches what He said needed to be said so they'd understand where they were at, so that they could repent, so they could change their ways, so that they could enjoy the real riches of God and the blessings that Jesus had to pour out. That's what revival really is. That people come to understand their relationship with God, and if it's not right, make it right, so that they can that they can receive the great blessings from the loving hand of God. We need a revival. Well, that was His intention. If you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're living in the past, thinking on the past, you can come out of that right now. Come to the Lord, and He will encourage you, He will strengthen you, and He will speak to you, and He will bring life to dead bones if that has to happen. First verse only. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Thank you, folks, for not being just fair weather people, but you're going to come and praise the Lord regardless of what's going to happen, aren't you? Amen. Let the storms come, let the winds blow, you're going to be here. I'm thankful for good, faithful people like you. May God bless you as you go forth this day and this week. Bless you in a wonderful, wonderful way. Be safe and serve the Lord in a great way. And we have Brian with us this morning. Brian, would you ask God's blessing and guidance for our people this week?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can meet today in your house. Family and friends, brothers and sisters, all in the name of Christ. We pray that you'll guide us and guard us and protect us as we leave and go our separate ways here. We pray we'll be unified in the message that we receive today, and we can build upon it and honor you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.